really listen to the point where we apply it. Here it gives us the connotation of listening to the point where it makes some changes. There are many folks in our world that have grown tired of systematic study of God's word. Now, when you think about that, how in the world are we supposed to grow if we're not feeding ourselves on God's word? And worship is a small part of it. Notice I said small part of it. Because really, when we gather together to worship, the whole mindset of worship should be returning thanks to God for allowing us to live as a Christian and the blessing of living as a Christian every week. That's our reasonable service. At least we can gather and say thank you. At least we can gather and get outside of ourselves and encourage members of God's body when we come together. Now think about that for a moment. Think about your systematic study of Bible. You may say, well, I don't have time. Do you have 5 or 10 minutes to read and meditate on the scripture? Do you have 30 minutes to carve out of your busy schedule? Because I know that. I know we do. Because I can guarantee you the vast majority of, I can't say all of us, watch way more than 30 minutes of TV a day. But we can't carve out time for God's word. Maybe it's because we fall in that category of being dull of hearing. So let's see what some of the consequences of being dull of hearing are. We go backwards. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says this. For when the time, when you ought to be teachers, a good amount of time had passed and they should have been moving on. Are you moving on in your Christian walk? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just okay with keeping the status quo? Because that doesn't get the job done. And that doesn't meet what God requires. You know, Paul here is basically chastising them and saying, that should have been a point in time where you should have been further along. But you've become dull of hearing. You've just taken the things of God for granted. You're just, in many respects, going through the motions. And as we go into this new year, maybe we'll have a mindset to not make it like years past. Not make worship something that we just do to just get done on our to-do list. But really pour our hearts out in the day. Not take days for granted with our loved ones like they're going to be here tomorrow. Now think about this. And one of the things I have willed and desired myself to do and basically challenged myself to do is to learn to slow down in life and smell the roses. Sometimes in life, we get so busy, as some folks say, making a living, that we truly forget to live. Living is more than just working 40 or 50 hours a week. We understand we have those things to do and we have needs to meet, but if your whole life consists around working and an income, we're missing the point. Because there's other times that the things that are more so more important. That job that sometimes keeps us away from God, all you have to do is die. And by the time they have your funeral and give you your respects, there's already going to be somebody probably in that job or on the way to that job. Think about that for a moment. What do we risk when we give and put things before God? Those hobbies and those things that we enjoy, they're just for this world. What about us today? Paul says a good amount of time had already passed. But it seems like they were going backwards. So my question is, what about us? There's more of a need now than ever to do Christ's will. Now we know we're dealing with some situations in our society, but think about the opportunities it presents. Think about how folks are really maybe turning and looking towards something else. Have you made it part of your yearly goals to at least bring one person to Christ? Have you made it a part of your daily or weekly or monthly or yearly goals to encourage someone to return to the fold? It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a mindset of doing these things. There are many folks around us, and that's why we're still here. Because the last person who God has in mind to be in the Lord's church is not here yet. When that person happens, only God knows, he's coming back for his church without spot or wrinkle. Are you ready, and are you keeping God's promise and keeping God's commands and doing Christ's will until that day appears? We're around folks each and every day, and we're all guilty of this because I know I am as well, and I always like to put myself at the front of the line because first person who preaches and hears this sermon is me. So it's cutting me too, both ways. How many times are we not taking advantage of telling somebody about Jesus? How many times have folks we said or maybe we had planned to talk to about Christ, but the next time you hear that name mentioned is when they died and are no longer here? How does that make you feel? I don't know. It doesn't make me feel well. I'm just speaking for myself. When I look back and realize there maybe have times that I could have talked to someone about Christ. Now, we're not in the business of converting, but God does expect us to go and teach. But sometimes when we wait, maybe you're the only person that can reach that person and bring them to Christ. And yet we still sit silent. Yet we're still worried about persecution. Yet we're still worried about all the things out there in the world. But these folks had the same problem. Because guess what? When you look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, basically, it tells us these things are important. But if all we're doing is continue to spin our wheels and talk about these things, then we're never putting these things into action. Let's see what it says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, our foundations, let us move on to perfection. Perfection doesn't mean that you're perfect. It does mean maturity. Not laying on again the foundation of repentance. We all know we have to repent. That's obvious. That should be accepted, that we need to be making sure that our lives are straight with God. Then it said from dead works and of faith towards God. It didn't say in God. There's a difference between having faith towards God and then faith in God. We get the picture of a little toddler walking, who's walking towards their parents and stumbling and maybe not getting there and take two steps and they stumble and fall. So sometimes the parent or grandparent or whoever it is in that child's life, the adult, will meet that child halfway. But it's a problem if that child is only taking two steps a year from now. That's a problem. That's a development problem. Many of us are still taking two steps and falling after that second step. Many of us, the same things that tripped us up last year, the same thing that bothers us, and what we say got us out of ourselves last year, are still getting us out of ourselves this year. Many of the things that we want to do, we have decided not to do because we have not made it a priority. What about us today? Why the need? Why the need? We ought to be teachers. And we're not talking about this in a public sense, because there'll be everybody's not going to teach a class in a public sense, whether it be a Bible class or whatever. But everybody is commanded to teach somebody. We don't get off the hook with that. We don't get off the hook leaving it to the preachers and elders when we have not decided to take the gospel. Because when you look at how the church really grew, it grew when every member went everywhere spreading the gospel. That's how the church grows. Programs are good. They kind of give you an outline, a frame. But if we're not using the Bible and taking the word out, how do we expect to grow? That's how we grow. There's no magic bullet to it. It's just using God's word, because that's how we grow anyway. That's what convicts the soul. We ought to be teachers, not in a public sense. But God, we're all commanded to go and teach the lost. All of us are commanded to do that. The focus should be whatever we do collectively as the Lord's body and individually of taking the gospel to the lost and dying world. Our resources, our funds, our treasury, our efforts, it should all be focused on seeking and saving the lost, period. Now, everything, there's some other things that come along with that that are not primary that help with that cause, but if our efforts are not focused on seeking and saving the lost, for whatever God has blessed us with, then we're not doing what God has asked us to do. And what happens is we become stagnant. What happens is we become complacent. What happens is we stop growing. And that should not be what we should see in God's growing Christian and maturing Christian. The focus should be that. It ought to, meaning when Paul says ought to, it means that there should be a normal development maturity for each and every Christian who names the name of Christ. And that's something we have to answer ourselves individually. Are you the same as you were last year? Are you the same, not even last year, are you the same as you were last month, last week? Have you grown any this week? I didn't have time to grow. Were you either growing or dying? That's the reality of it. So it's something we need to take seriously. And then he says this, Paul says, you have need. They digressed in the knowledge of divine things. So what happens is, if we don't grow, we actually lose ground. That's what he's saying. If we don't move on past these things, when verses 1 through 6 of Hebrews chapter 6, it means we're really digressing. We there's no such thing as holding ground. We're either growing or we're moving backwards. Which one are you in? They digressed in their knowledge of divine things. It does not mean they needed to be instructed again in the first principles. It was their ignorance of the oracles themselves that caused them not to grow. They had forgotten what God had told them and commanded them in his word, which is to grow up into our head, which is Christ Jesus. This should be a continual growth process. Now, some folks say, you know, we all grow at different rates. I understand that and I accept that. But what is a non-negotiable is we're supposed to be growing. You may not grow like somebody else, but you need to be growing regardless. So don't get in the situation of comparing yourself to somebody else, but decide to grow and mature thereby. Their problem was they were still using milk. Now, we know at certain times God definitely condones and accepts us using milk. We see that in 1 Peter 2 and 2, right? When it says the pure milk of the word. But then in 1 Corinthians 3, 2, Paul had to feed Corinth with milk. And how do we know? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. One of the ways that we can know we're still babes in Christ is how we act and interact with one another. And so it doesn't matter sometimes about years that we've been on this earth, or even years we've been in the Lord's church. How do we react with one another? Let's begin at verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 3. And it reads as such. And our brethren could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes unto Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you not able to bear it. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For one, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So are you babes in Christ? Is strife still in your life? Is division still in your life? All these things are examples and evidence that we're not growing as we should. Strifes, envyings, and divisions. Three characteristics of babes in Christ. That should be a get to the point. We focus on the bigger things. That should get to the point where we're unified in our efforts as far as winning and saving souls. If we're still complaining about one issue or that issue or not doing what we need to do because somebody made us mad or somebody upset us, that's a mindset and that's evidence that you are yet carnal. Doesn't matter if you've been in the church 50 years or 50 days. That's evidence of it. Because at some point in time, we got to stop sweating the small stuff and do what God asks us to do, which is to seek and to save the lost. And guess what? Every person has a part in that plan. God places in the body members individual, not just to warm pews, not just to show up, but to partake in the overall work of the Lord's church. Each and every person has a responsibility. Your responsibility may not be what somebody else's is, but make no mistake, God has placed you in the body for a certain reason. Your question is, and part of the leadership and the church responsibility, along with your efforts, is to identify those needs. And then find a way for you to fill your gift and use your gift to serve the Lord. All of us have it. Now, it may change at different stages in our life. But yet and still, we're supposed to be doing something. There's some folks in this mindset that said, well, you know what? I worked long enough. It's time to retire. Well, guess what? Moses didn't really start his ministry until he was 75. What about us? If all we're looking for is the eve of life and the setting of the sun, while it's still day, that's a problem that we need to fix. Now, you may can't do what you used to do, but you can do something. Something can be a call. Something can be an encouragement. Something can be just praying fervently for one another. Nobody gets off the hook. My question is, are you ready to move forward? So we got to leave some things alone because they were still using milk. Paul, again, says we need to be using strong meat. Notice what he says here. We must have head and heart discipline to grow in Christ. Head and heart discipline. What does that mean? With our emotions and our thoughts. That's how we grow. The more we control our thoughts, the better we're able to control our emotions. So to the point where we don't cause strife and envies and divisions. We can then move on to spiritual meat. And the wonderful thing about God's word is, based on where you are in your growth process, that same scripture can be milk to somebody and meat to somebody else. That's why God's word never gets old. That's why we can't say, well, you know what? I read the Bible in a year. I don't need to read it anymore. No, sir, no, ma'am. I can tell you right now, maybe you're in the same boat, but there were some scriptures that I read 5 days, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago that have a whole totally different meaning. Nobody changed the words. Nobody changed anything. But based on my growth, spiritual growth, and my intellect changing and my understanding of God's word collectively, I get a whole different meaning out of it. So it's never a situation we have the opportunity and responsibility or even obligation to stop growing. We can then move on to spiritual meat. Strong meat includes Christ's priesthood and really understanding who Christ is. And that's when we begin that, really, as I like to say, that conversion process. When you really understand, really begin to understand who Christ is, you ain't going nowhere. When you really begin to understand who Jesus Christ is, worship won't be a problem, attending faithfully. When you really begin to understand who Christ is to you, it won't be a problem taking them into Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday with you, and not just Sundays. When we really grasp that concept, then we're really beginning that conversion process. The reason why many folks are unfaithful to Christ is because they have not really understand who he is and all that he is. And that's just to be honest about it. If you understand that he is your sustainer for everything, even the very air you breathe, there's nowhere in the world you can get up in the morning and not say thank you. If you really understand that he is the one who gave you the ability, the opportunity, and the help to go to a job, you will learn to glorify him on your job instead of cursing and being mad. Maybe God has you there for a purpose. Maybe God has you there to win a soul to Christ. We never think about that sometimes. All we sometimes do is get in the business of complaining. If you really understand who Christ is, that moment when all of us are backed up in line at Walmart, maybe you'll take time to tell somebody Jesus loves them, and so do you. Just unprovoked. Just letting it out there. That's just sowing seeds. You never know how that can make somebody's day. But if you're not growing, and if that's not your mindset, we'll never take opportunities of it. See, we make this thing about evangelism too big. Evangelism is going about day to day spreading the word of God, his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means, and what he promised to do once you believe that for you. That's pretty much the gospel in its simplest form. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And if you believe those things and you act on it, this is what he promises to do. He promises to add you to the Lord's body. And then with that adding to the Lord's body, he promises that if you walk faithfully with him, you'll continue to grow up into Christ, which is your head. And you will never be the same person again. That's something that we can tell everybody. But we got to leave some stuff behind. What do we have to leave behind? Neglect of study and meditation will stunt your own growth. It directly results, think about this now, it directly results in immoral living and sin. If sin is running rampant in your life and immorality is running rampant in your life, I can guarantee you're not studying God's word like you should. That's the solution. There ain't no magic bullet to it. This makes us ill-prepared to enter into deeper truths. We then can use our senses to discern good and evil. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 5. I like this, verse number 14 especially. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those that who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you understand? You and I understand that God expects us at some point in time to see evil coming from a long way off, not till it hisses in our face, not till it gets to our doorsteps, not till it gets in the car with us. We ought to be able to see those things coming a long way when our senses are discerned. What senses do we have? Now, we have our five senses, but he's more talking about a spiritual sense here. There should be some things that really disturb you to your soul, your core, that you see in society. We should never get to the point we accept sin the way society does. We don't need to wink at sin. But when you're not growing, it's so easy to say, you know what, society's all right. It doesn't matter. God, it doesn't matter if you don't live according to God's word. God still loves you. That's the biggest lie we can tell ourselves. And yes, he does love you, but he also loves you enough to punish you as well. What about us today? Leave these things behind. Makes us ill-prepared. We begin to hate sin like God hates sins when we're in that maturity process. When we're going from milk to meat, the things that bother God will begin to bother us. And not just a one-time act. I'm talking about a lifestyle act. That's when you begin to change and turn your life around. When you begin to be bothered by the things that God has bothered according to his word, then you will change your life. You can't stay the same. You won't want to do those things. You know that when you look into God's law, that you know that against God's word, you won't want to do them anymore. Because you've grown to the point where you take these things seriously. And then the last part I'll cover before I close my lesson is, we need to constantly examine ourselves. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And I'll bring this lesson in for a landing. Galatians chapter 6. And I'll read verses 1 through. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 6. Now, this right here gives us a picture of maturity, but also it talks about, gives us a glimpse of what it looks like to be immature. Chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 1 reads as such. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, when you look at this particular passage, this particular verse, it says something about that S word, ye who are spiritual. Paul was not talking to some spiritual folks in Hebrews chapter 6. He's talking to some carnal folks. But notice what happens. Notice what you see for those who are spiritual. Somebody's overtaken in a fault. You understand the nature of sin. You understand how it can wreak havoc in somebody's life. So instead of condemning them, you try to reach out to them with the gospel. Then it says this. Restore such a one, which means that your mindset is on pulling souls from the fire of hell. That's what it means. If that's not our mission every day, then what are we truly living for? What are we really doing with this thing called church? With this thing called being a Christian? If it's not our mission to seek in and save the lost, what are we really doing? Keeping house? We're doing things that are good. We're doing things that are fun. We're doing things to edify ourselves, because worship is really for ourselves to be able to spread it to somebody out there in the world. So that's what happens. Then what else it says? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That is somebody who understands how powerful sin is. To the point is, they know how to approach somebody, because if they were in the same boat and they were walking in them same shoes, they'd be dealing with it the same way. And what that does is it causes you to go into it with a mindset of, that, but by the grace of God, there go I. Now, the goal is still to restore them. It didn't say they stayed away from them. It didn't say they left them alone. It said they reached out to restore them, considering themselves, lest they also be tempted. Then verse 22 says this, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinking himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What happens when we begin to take on strong meat is we'll realize that we're nothing. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're nothing but people that gave you the gospel. I'm nobody. I'm nobody special. I'm just like you. I struggle like you do. I got to get to heaven the same way you do. Now, that really flies in the face of our religious society today. But there's some folks who believe they're a little higher than you. There's no such thing. And take on terms like reverend, doctor, bishop, apostle, whatever it is, flattering titles to separate themselves from nobody else. You and I don't care what we do in the Lord's church, we're nothing but a bag of dirt with clothes on. And if you put a little bit of smell gun on, you'll smell good too in God's eyes. You and I are nothing. We're in the same boat. But you'll realize that if you're spiritual. But then it says this, but let every man prove his own work, which means that's work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself and alone and not in another. As we grow, matriculate, and grow spiritually, we have to understand that, basically, we're keeping it. It's not something that we toot our own horns about. We shouldn't be bragging about how many souls we led to Christ, because all we're doing is what God asks us to do. We shouldn't be bragging and hanging our heels and what all the things we've done and even the things we've done for the Lord's church, and we can still do more? I've done enough. What kind of mindset is that? When have you ever done enough? Because when you're saying that, you're saying God has also done enough for you. One of the reasons that shows that we're still carnal is because many of us still have that mindset. Well, I've done enough. According to who? Me? Yeah, maybe me. But I'm not the standard. Christ is. So how can we give Christ too much? Then it says, for every man must bear his own burden, which lets us know that you and I have a responsibility. As we grow as Christians, we'll understand that me making it to heaven is me, not my family, not my spouse, not my girlfriend, not my children. I got to get to heaven myself. I got to do it myself, whether nobody else does it or not. So what that does is when other folks fall by the wayside, we don't fall by the wayside with them. When other folks are not as faithful in their lives, that doesn't mean that we're not here and as faithful as well. Sometimes we say that. Well, this person's not faithful. Guess what? I'm not going to be faithful either. No, sir, no, ma'am. If you're spiritual and if you're on strong meat, you'll understand that I'm going to do what's right, whether nobody does what is right. So we need to have that mindset. Verse 6 says this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Which lets us know we come to grasp that concept. We reap what we sow, whether it be good or bad. So if you want to stop getting bad stuff in your life, stop sowing bad seeds. simple. Many folks expect things to change for them, and they're still sowing to the flesh and bad seeds, and they're expecting a godly harvest. That's foolishness. Somebody once told me the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. No wonder people are going crazy, because you're doing the same thing, and you're expecting different results. No, we got to have a mindset to change. And then, verse 9, which is good for us as well. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Many of us have grown dull of hearing, and when we grow dull of hearing, we become weary, which means that we don't want to work anymore. We get tired. I understand we all get tired, but tired is different than weariness. Tired means I can take a rest. Tired means I've given a full day and given my best effort. When you're weary, that means you're very close to walking away. That's what that means. But he said, don't let it happen to us. Why? Because in due season, now your due season may not be somebody else's due season. The problem with many of us is we're looking at somebody else's harvest and we're expecting the same harvest at the same time. That's not how God works. He never has. The example I like to use with that is, think about popcorn we used to cook on the stove. Think about popcorn you cook in the microwave. Do all them kernels pop at the same time? Nope. But when the timer goes off, that first kernel tastes just as good as that last kernel that popped. So in the grand scheme of things, it don't matter when you pop, because God said you would, you just got to remain faithful. What that does is keep the focus on you and God working in your life. And then it says this in closing, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. We've gotten outside of ourselves, church. Paul is talking about something here. I'm going to go into Hebrews probably 6, verses 1 through 6. I didn't really get into that tonight, this morning. But as we have opportunity, it should be a mindset to do good to all men. Then it says, especially those of the household of faith, because we're in a special relationship with them. But it does not alleviate us from trying to do good to all men. What is your mindset today? Someone who's on strong meat realizes that they're supposed to be going about doing good each and every day of their life. And not just for themselves, for others. It should not always be a situation when somebody asks us to do something for them. If we see a need, we ought to be willing to do it. There's a whole lot of folks who are doing it, but now some aren't. Some who says, I'm not doing anything else because they didn't appreciate it. Well, why'd you do it in the first place? They didn't say they was thankful. They didn't say they thank you, so I'm not going to do nothing else for them. Well, again, why'd you do it in the first place? If you did it for what you get back, then that's the wrong reason. You ought to just do it, as some folks say, for goodness sake. Just because of who you are. Just because God has blessed us with so much, goodness ought to be flowing out of each and every one of our lives. Just by habit. Just like we read of in the 23rd Psalm. Thy anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over. When God anoints us with blessings in our life, some of that's supposed to spill into our saucer. Why is that? So that the world can drink from our saucer from time to time. Many of us are trying to get it back up in the cup because the world don't deserve it. Wrong attitude. Paul talks about it. Time to move on. When the time we ought to be teachers, we have one need to teach us again, the first principles. Make it your mission from this point on, if you hadn't done it already. And many of you have, many of you was doing it. So if you're doing it, just understand I'm just dittoing what you're already doing. But make it a point to grow each and every day of your life, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Decide to take God with you in every aspect of your life. No matter where you go, he needs to be first. On the job, in your hobbies, with your friends, when you're alone. Is God number one? Is Christ on your mind when you get up in the morning? Is Christ on your mind during the day? Is Christ on your mind when you lay down at night? Do you get up with thanksgiving on your hearts? Even when we have troubles, I mentioned this last week. Our only response to whatever God allows to happen in our life is thank you. It's thank you. Because even if it's bad stuff, he's going to use it for our good. Even if it's trials and tribulation, guess who grows stronger because of it? Even if he requires us to have patience. What does he say in James chapter 1? Let patience have its perfect or complete work in your life. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want at the time we want it because he's trying to teach us patience. Patience means endurance. We need endurance to finish this race called Christian life. We need it. There's no other way to get endurance. Anybody who's ever done anything with track, the only way you get to run a mile better is you keep running a mile. You don't run 100 yards and expect to be better than your mile. Sometimes you run 2 miles to the point where you don't even get your second breath. So as you go through in life, just using track as an example, if I want to run the mile and break a time in the mile, I don't need to run a mile only. I need to probably run 2 or 3 miles to the point where my wind gets built up enough that when I'm there and I need that extra kick to make it across the line and win, I got it because I've already trained for 3 miles. God is in the business of doing that for us as well. So sometimes when you seem like you're 3 miles down the road, maybe he's doing that so that you can have the next mile that comes in your life and you'll make that with no problem. You'll have a problem with that. In closing, what must we do to be saved? Let's hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of our sins. The place is in the Christ Jesus. And then, once he does that, and once we put on that water,